بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. And welcome to Fiqh According to the Four Schools of Thought with myself Ibrahim Musa and Mufti Abdul Qadir Husseinis. Today we are going to be discussing janazah and burial according to the Four Schools of Thought in our Fiqh lesson. We welcome Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussein to the show. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. جزاك الله خيرا حفظ إبراهيم بارك الله فيكم.
We start with very important and interesting questions. The first thing, everybody wants a good death. What is the sign of a good death or حسن الخاتمة?
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of this universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. First and foremost, we all should make the dua as mentioned in Surah Yusuf, the dua of Nabi Yusuf alayhi salatu salam, Surah 12, verse 101, Tawaffani muslima wa alhiqni bisualihin. O Almighty Allah, let me die as a Muslim, and attach and join me and unite me with the Muslim, with the pious people, wa alhiqni bisualihin, and unite me with the pious people. The sign that a person has died with Iman, Mustafa Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the hadith in Nasai in Tirmidhi, Al-Mu'minu yamutu bi-araqil jabeen, that a true believer will die with perspiration on his or her forehead. Many a time we see our father or mother or the person that they perspiring profusely. That's the sign of Allah's rahmah and enveloping that person there. Likewise, when the person passes away on a Friday, من توفاه الله يوم الجمعة أو ليلتها وقاه الله من فتن القبر. A person passed away on a Friday, the day of Friday or the night of Friday, what we call Thursday night. Almighty Allah will protect that person from the torment of the grave. This hadith in Tirmidhi. Obviously, the person must pass away with Iman and Islam. That is the biggest criteria. Likewise, a person passes away in Ramadan, a person passes away on a Monday. Mustafa, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, passed away on a Monday. The demise took place. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq used to make dua, as mentioned in Bukhari Sharif, Ya Allah, give me death on a Monday. So all these are good signs.
JazakAllah khairan for that, Mufti Saab. What should the people read at that time, this very sensitive and blessed time?
When that person is in what we will call the sakarat and so forth, he, that person, should read, Allahumma inni ala sakaratil maut. O Almighty Allah, you assist me against the pains and pangs of death, as mentioned in Musnad Ahmad and various compilations. The people who are there, they should read Surah Yasin. Mustafa Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Iqra'u ala mautakum Yasin. Read upon your dead and deceased the Surah Yasin. So both meanings are implied and referred to. That is, when the person is on the verge of dying and leaving this world, then also read Surah Yasin, because it makes it easy for the ruh and the soul then to separate emanate from the body. And likewise, after the person has passed away, then also after burial and so forth, we read Surah Yasin. So that also is meritorious, as mentioned in Abu Dawood. And when that person in his last moments, laqinu mautakum la ilaha illallah, as mentioned in Bulughul Maram and various compilations of hadith, that make talqeen and remind the brother or the sister to read the kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. The aim should be, as Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, man akana akhiru kalamihi la ilaha illallah dakhal al jannah. Once the person's last speech is la ilaha illallah, he enters Jannah with the mercy of Almighty Allah. The hadith in Mishkat Sharif.
JazakAllah Mufti Saab. As the mayit lies in front of people, people might become overcome with emotion and they might want to kiss the deceased. Is this fine?
That is in fact a sunnah of Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even before the ghusl, you can kiss the deceased, and after the ghusl and kafan, so before the bathing and shrouding, you kiss. That is permissible. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala who came and he saw the Mubarak body of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he kissed Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the Mubarak forehead and said, "Tibta hayya wa mayta," that your life, ya Rasulullah, was so pure, and in death also it is so pure. And Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself kissed Uthman bin Maz'un, and that was the first Sahabi to pass away in Medina Munawwara after the migration of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Medina Munawwara. So it shows that if it is the same gender, or for example a daughter kisses her father, or the son kisses the mother, and all this type of thing, so we don't only say it's permissible, we will say it's a sunnah to kiss the deceased on the forehead. But remember, it should not be ajnabi, cannot be strangers. You can't be going to kiss somebody else's wife and all that. Obviously, that will be haram.
So the next question with regard to ghusl, who should be giving the ghusl and doing the kafan?
Regarding the ghusl and the shrouding, the bathing, shrouding, this great, great virtue for that also, in Tabarani, the hadith is mentioned, Mustafa, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Man ghassala mayyitan, fakatamahu," you gave ghusl to the person, and you concealed his faults, maybe you saw something, "thumma kaffanahu," and then you did the shrouding, all that, "albasahu allahu sundusun sundus," Almighty Allah will give that person to wear that silk garments and clothing of Jannah, which are very, very thick. So the hadith in Tabarani, so this great virtue. Normally what happens in the towns and cities, they have the burial committee, and if a male passes away, then the men will come, they give the ghusl, and if a female, then the female team and group will come, they will give the ghusl. This is very good. However, even the family members, two, three of them, for example, the father passed away, the son should be there, the mother passed away, the daughter should be there, or the sister should be there. So that is what we will say is desirable and recommended, that some close members should also be there. And the ghusl you give the deceased is the same manner like how we give ghusl to ourselves. We first wash our hands, then the private parts, and then we make the wudu, and then we wash the whole body, head downwards, and then right shoulder down, left shoulder down. So that is how the ghusl is given. Regarding the shrouding, remember for the men, they are three pieces of cloth, and you know the kafan as we call, and Nabi alayhi salam said regarding the white material, "kaffinu fi amawtakum," as mentioned in Tirmidhi Sharif, that you give the, your ghusl, you give your kafan, you know, that white material, like what we do now, there's a calico. And for the women, there'll be five pieces of cloth. The two extra pieces will be, one will be for the head and the hair and so forth, and the second one will be what they call the sinaban, like for the bosom. So that are the two extra pieces that for the lady they will use. So three pieces for the male and five pieces for the female. And that is how the ghusl and the kafan and camphor should be used also. This is very important. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when his beloved daughter Sayyida Zainab radiallahu anha passed away, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the ladies that you must put camphor after you gave the ghusl, fi mawadi is sujood, meaning that in, you know, the places where you make sajda, so the forehead, the tip of the nose, the hands, the knees, the toes, the feet, so all those places there that you put camphor as well, after you've given the ghusl and before you do the shrouding.
We have the next question. After the ghusl has been done, how should a woman's hair be kept?
Regarding our ladies, now they will give the ghusl to the lady. Thereafter, how should the hair be kept? Remember, the hadith is mentioned in Bulughul Maram, Musnad Ahmad, various compilations and so forth. Now the Sahabiyat say, فَضَفَرْنَاهَا ثَلَاثَ قُرُوا ثَلَاثَةَ قُرُونٍ خَلْفَهَا, that we took the hair of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's daughter and we made it three parts. And you know the plaits, you make three parts of it, you put one behind the right shoulder, one behind the neck, and one behind the left shoulder. And that is the verdict of majority scholars, the Shafi'is, the Malikis, the Hanbalis. So that is what you will do. However, the Hanafi ulama say no, that when the lady has long hair, for example, the African lady, normally they don't have that long, long hair. Or today, our women who cut their hair and trim their hair and so forth, which is haram and not permissible, and it's imitating men and fashion and what have you. But nevertheless, that if the lady's hair is long, then the Hanafi ulama and scholars say that you take it and make two parts of it, you bring it in front, and you cover the bosom and the breast with it. So that is according to the Hanafi school. But the other school, the Shafi'is, Hanbalis, and them say that no, you'll put all that back. And the hadith is mentioned in Bulughul Maram, Mishkat Sharif, various compilations.
Jazakallah khairan, Mufti Sahab. Moving on to the janazah now, is Salatul Janazah in absentia permissible?
As Muslims, we must remember this is the beauty of Islam, that for us to give the ghusl, that is compulsory. Farz-e kifaya. If no one in that city or town give ghusl, kulluhum athimun, all of them will be considered sinners. So whether it's the bathing of the deceased of Muslims, obviously, or the shrouding of the Muslim, or whether Salatul Janazah, all of them fall in the same category. And it is called that, you know, what we would say, farz-e kifaya. Some people must take that responsibility. They will get the reward and the others would be absolved of it. Now many a time we can see nowadays that people are moving from country to country, continent to continent. You take South Africa. How many foreigners have settled here? People from India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, Africa, Nigeria, Malawi, Zimbabwe. Arab people have come here. Now somebody passes away. Their father, mother in their beloved country, they are here in South Africa or vice versa. So can you read Salatul Janazah al-Ghaib in absentia? The Shafi'i and the Hanbali scholars say it is permissible. And the dalil and evidence they cite is, Inna Nabiya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam swalla ala Najashi. Mustafa Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam read on Najashi, that is Negroes who embrace Islam, whose story is mentioned in the Quran Sharif, when they embrace Iman in the starting of the seven Jews, wa idha sami'u ma unzila ila Rasul. So that is the evidence cited by the Shafi'is and Hanbali scholars. However, the Hanafi and Maliki jurors say it is not permissible. You cannot read Salatul Janazah if the body is absent. So one of the prerequisites and conditions for the validity of Salatul Janazah, especially according to Hanafi and Maliki scholars, will be that the body has to be present. Therefore, the Hanafi say for Salatul Janazah, you must stand, is compulsory, and you have to, you know, have the body present, so all that will be considered as compulsory. So the academic discussion, now what do the Hanafis and Malikis say regarding the incident of Nabi alayhi salatu salam reciting, reading rather, the Salatul Janazah on Hazrat Najashi radiallahu anhu, you know. So in a case like that, so we will say that it was min khasa'is Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Certain things were peculiar and the unique features, characteristics of Mustafa Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was only for him and not for everybody.
Shukran Mufti Sahab. Still about Janazah Salah, where should it be read? Is it at the Qabristan or is it at the Masjid?
When we study the Seerah Mubarakah of Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we find that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's adat Mubarakah was always to read the Salatul Janazah outside the Masjid. Even today, we can pinpoint to you at Masjid Nabawi where Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to perform the Salatul Janazah. Yes, on one, two occasions when Sahal and Suhail radiallahu ta'ala anhu passed away, then Nabi alayhi salam performed the Salatul Janazah inside the masjid, but it was raining on those days there. So it shows, as the hadith is mentioned in Muslim and so forth. So we will say that definitely it's better, and therefore Hanafi say you must read the Salatul Janazah outside. So the imam and the mayyit, the janazah will be outside and so forth. Sometime, you know, know, like in India, Pakistan, they have the masajid built in such a way that where the mihrab, the semicircle, the niche is, where the imam stands, then outside there they have a veranda like, and that place they use for janaza. So the mayyit is outside, the imam is outside, one, two serfs are outside, and the remainder are flowing into the masjid. So that is permissible as well. So, you know, so it doesn't mean everybody has to be outside. The imam is outside, and the mayyit is outside, and you have few people outside, others in the masjid. So that also is fine. But it's best that everybody is outside. So that will be the Hanafi verdict. However, the Shafi'is and the Hanbalis and them say, no, if you read in the masjid also, it is valid. And they say that, you know, Nabi alayhi salatu salam read for Sahal and Suhail. But the Hanafi's proof is strong in this sense. They look at the normal habit of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there's a hadith in Abu Dawood also, man salla ala janazatin fil masjid fala ajra lahu, that of fala shay'a lahu, that when you read salatul janaza of the deceased, you know, inside the masjid proper, then there's no real reward for that person, meaning you don't get abundant reward. So that will be the dalil, both sides, you know, as I mentioned. So the best, we will say, even this day, at this age, is better to have it outside. But now, you know, like certain places, the Haramain Sharifain, Makkah Mukarramah, Madinah Munawwara, the crowd is so big, and now the imams, they perform the salatul janaza there. So when the Hanafis, it is their janaza, or it is themselves want to read, you just read in the masjid. You don't say, no, I can't read the salatul janaza because the mayyit, the janaza, is taking place in the masjid. Or if you go to Cape Town, for example, so if they read it there, the salatul janaza will be valid.
Jazakallah khairan for that, Mufti Saab. How is janaza salah to be performed?
Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah has mentioned one jewel, as we will call it, the Lata'if, the Asrar, the secrets and the wisdom and the beauty of Islam. This we call Mahasin al-Islam. See, Hafiz Ibrahim Musa, for example, I want to give you this kitab or this pen or this watch or whatever. So I present it to you like this, in front, like, you know. We won't give it on the back. So now my father, mother, brothers passed away, so we read Salatul Janaza. So what do we say? We say that the mayyit will be in front, then the imam, and then the people at the back. So we will cherish and relish the moments that we spent with them and all those. But remember, the ultimate and real owner is who? Almighty Allah. So therefore we say, Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un, which is a unique feature of this ummah. The hadith in Tabarani, no ummah had this dua before us. So we belong to Allah, and unto Allah is a return. So it's a gift we are giving back to the rightful owner, ultimate owner, and that is Almighty Allah. Second, there is no ruku and sajda in Salatul Janaza, because the mayyit is in front. To show us ruku, bowing down and prostrating, is solely only for Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla. So that is the second point that we should remember, that ruku sajda is only for all. We can't make ruku sajda by a nabi, by a wali, by anyone. Any creation is absolutely haram. Now the Salatul Janaza, first of all you make intention, you're reading Salatul Janaza. Then you say it, intention doesn't have to be pronounced and announced, in your heart you make the intention. Allahu Akbar. Then the Hanafi scholars say, you read Thana Subhanakallahu bihamdik. And majority scholars, the Shafi'is and the Hanbalis and all of them say, no, you read Surah Fatiha. And according to Shafi'is, to read Surah Fatiha, in that Salatul Janaza is farz and compulsory. If you don't read the Surah Fatiha, then the Salatul Janaza is null and void. In the Haramain Sharifain, because the mics are so powerful, many a time you will hear the honorable imams in Makkah Mukarramah, Madinah Munawwara. I read many times. So then they are reading the Surah Fatiha in that first, you know, takbir, after the first takbir. So there's a slight different opinion. Hanafi say Subhanakallahumma. Majority scholars will say Surah Fatiha. So our second takbir, then the majority scholars say you raise your hand again, and Hanafis say you don't raise your hand. So that is also of the liyah, what is preferred and so forth. But you say Allah Akbar. The muqtadi also must say Allah Akbar. The four takbirs are first, according to all. You must say the Allah Akbar. Nevertheless, thereafter, you must remember, you read durood, salawat upon Nabiul Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then the Imam says, Allahu Akbar, the third one. And then you make the dua for the deceased. Remember the most comprehensive dua that Nabi alayhi salam taught us, the Ummah, subhanallah. And we all learned this if we went to primary madrasa and so. Allahumma fil lihayyina wa mayyitina wa shahidina wa ghaibina wa saghirina wa kabirina wa dhakarina wa unthana. اللهم من أحييته منا فأحيي الإسلام ومن توفيته منا فتوفى ولا الإيمان. So these type of du'as you read, Ya Allah, forgive those alive, those who have passed away, the male, the female, the elders, the children. So everybody, you know, and Ya Allah, when you keep us alive with Islam. And when you give us death with Iman. So it shows that the Iman is the criteria by Almighty Allah, Jalla Wala. Then when the Imam says Allahu Akbar, thereafter you make salam. Here is one masla, very interesting. Majority scholars, the Hanafis and the Shafi'is, the Malikis, all of them say you will make salam both sides. But the Hanbalis, only Hanbalis, they say you make salam only on the right hand side. Therefore you will find in Makkah Mukarramah, Madinah Munawwarah, they, the Imams, majority of them, they follow the Hanbali school in most issues. So therefore they just make one salam and then they start walking. So that is the fiqhul Hanbaliyah or Hanabila. That is according to the Hanbali fiqh. So we should remember that, and majority scholars say both sides you make the salam. So that is how Salatul Janazah is performed for the deceased.
For example, when lowering the mayyat into the grave, what is to be recited?
Mustafa Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us all these type of things. إِذَا وَضَعْتُمْ الْمَيِّتِ فِي الْقُبُورِ, that when you're going to lower the mayyit in the grave, then read Bismillah وَعَلَى مِلَّةِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. Best is to have three or four people, you know, when you have an adult male or female that has passed on. So they will go first into the grave, and then you should tell each one, like how in my case of my brother now, he passed away, rahimahullah. So I told my nephew and all of that, that see, when the body comes, we all must read, you each one read individually, Bismillah wa ala millati Rasulillah. So in the name of Allah and on the religion of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is a sunnah, and many a time the sunnah is overlooked. And thereafter you lower the body, and then what you do is karwat. Karwat is a Urdu term which normal people normally use it, so therefore I use it. You don't just turn the face towards the Qibla when you are burying the deceased now. You turn the entire body towards the Qibla, and that is very important. So when we bury our deceased, we will first say Bismillah wa la millati Rasulillah, and thereafter we will say that, you know, we will turn the entire body, and then we fill it up with sand and so forth. And after the burial, remember that we can read, you know, 11 times Qul Huwallahu Ahad, as mentioned in Daraqutni, or for example we can read Surah Yasin as mentioned in Abu Dawood, or we can read the starting of Surah Baqarah and ending of Surah Baqarah as was the action of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu. Or we even raise our hands, and raising the hands in the graveyard is permissible, and the hadith is mentioned in Sahih Muslim, thrice Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam raised his hands. And if you don't raise your hands, that also is permissible. So we should not make it an issue. Both actions are proved by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then you make dua for the deceased, because they need the dua at that time. And the best dua you should make is, Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala keeps them steadfast. Allahumma thabbithu, if the male, Allahumma thabbithu in the su'al, Ya Allah, the question is going to take place, keep them steadfast, let them give the correct answers and so forth. And Ya Allah, grant them Jannatul Firdaus. Allahumma hasibu hisabi yasira, make the hisabi easy. Allahumma kana muhsinan fazid fi ihsanihi, is a good person, increase him, Ya Allah, in the reward. Wa in kana musian fatajawaz an sayyatihi, and Ya Allah, if he was a person who committed sins, major sins, then you forgive him through your mercy. And Allahumma jirhu min adab al qabr, adab al nar, Ya Allah, protect him from the chastisement and torment of the grave and the punishment of the grave. So these are the type of du'as we should be making, because this is what they require from us.
So I have two final questions. The first, can women go to the graveyard?
Mustafa Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La ana Allahu or la ana Rasulullah both." So la ana Rasulullah or la ana Allah both come. Then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam cursed the women who visit the graves, and la ana Allahu zayirat al kubur. Allah curses the grave women who visit the grave. Open the hadith in Sunan Nasai, Bulughul Maram, various ahadith kitabs you will find. So for women to go to graveyard, definitely not permissible. Some ulama have written haram, some ulama have written makruh. Tahrimi and so forth. So meaning definitely it is not permissible. And you can see the chaos that goes on nowadays. In our lands graveyard, you see sometimes the ladies come. We tell them don't, but you know sometimes they still come. They come with such clothes that leave a lot to be desired, some of them. Then some of them are more interested in gardening and pushing up the grave instead of taking a lesson and so forth. And then the performance they will put up, you know, especially that it is their son or father or somebody. So there, and Islam does not allow intermingling. So how much intermingling will take place? So therefore, there are many reasons and it's not permissible.
Final question, Mufti Sahib, this afternoon. What about the deaths of the deceased?
The deaths of the deceased, remember, it is of paramount importance that the executor and the heir should come together and make sure it is paid as soon as possible. In Islam, we say when a person passes away, number one is burial, funeral expenses, then the deaths of the deceased, and for the total estate, and then wasiyah. Wasiyah is for non-heirs, a person, organization, and the maximum amount is 1/3 from the total estate, and 1/4 are the shares of the heirs. Now look at the deaths, hadith in Musnad Ahmad and Tirmidhi also. Nabi alayhi salam said, "Nafsul mu'mini mu'allaqatun biduyunihi hatta tughda anhu." Our near and dear ones will not go to Jannah until the debts are paid. So the easy way to circumvent this, solve this, you the heirs, you take the responsibility and say, fine, it is no more the debt of my father, mother, brother, sister, wife, husband, whoever passed away. It is our debt, it is my debt, and we will pay it. So in that way, the deceased become bari uzimma, is free of that obligation. So that's a very easy way to solve the problem, but obviously they have to pay the credit.
Jazakallah khairan for joining us, and Jazakallah khairan to you, Muqtaza, for answering all our questions on this special edition of Al-Fiqh wa ala al-Madhahib al-Arba relating to Janaza and Death. More questions, you can email to Muftisa. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.